Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Author Dawn Davis is making her first appearance on our program today to talk to us not only about her love of writing, but what it's been like for her to share that with all of you. She has a new book out this year called The Tree of Life. We'll talk to her a little bit about how the book came about, but also what it was like for her to take readers back in time, as well as, of course, to show the power of words. Now, our impact today can definitely be able to have an impact on the world tomorrow. Dawn, hello to you, and welcome to the program. Glad you could join us today.
Hi, Cyrus. Thanks for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. We'll be telling our audience how they can get the book for themselves a little bit later. But Dawn, first of all, what has it been like for you already to see the way that people are responding to the book?
It's been really encouraging, but also a bit frightening. As a writer, basically you work in isolation, and when I feel that the book is finished and it goes out in the world, you can't change anything. It is as it is. And it's been a great experience, but as I say, a little intimidating too.
Yeah. You know, I thought the interesting thing for me when I began reading the book, Dawn, was how the characters, you know, really, I think, you know, are so much like we are. I mean, even though they are younger characters, I think people of all ages know what it's like, you know, to want to believe as though they can have an impact and that they can change the world around them. I mean, was that part of the excitement for you in kind of telling the story of Charlotte and Henry and what they were able to do and going, being able to go back in time?
Yes, it was. And I think that children, most particularly children right on the verge of their teenage years who still believe that they can accomplish anything, that truth and excitement and adventure are all around them, and that they have the power to help people and change people. That's why I chose children. They're innocent, but they're also fearless and quite devoted to each other. They can also be quite angry with one another and fight. Their emotions aren't stunted. They're right on the surface. And I like writing about people who live how they feel and don't hide it.
Right. You know, there were great conversations that you were able to have with Charlotte, and Charlotte definitely, I think, was not only inspirational, but also aspirational. There's that one great conversation you wrote, Dawn, with Tilly, and where she was encouraging, you know, Tilly to be able to use her gift, to use her interest, to be able to even build a business at 14, you know, years old. I mean, what was that like for you to create that character in Charlotte and to be able to give her the hope that she had?
That came from the 60-year time difference. Charlotte and Henry are coming back to Toronto from 1999 to 1939. Mm-hmm. And what Charlotte is aware of are all these opportunities for people to work with children who have skills. Tilly, who is a housemaid at the McFarlanes, has amazing skills that Charlotte knows could be turned into jobs, sewing, teaching, you know, homemaking skills, setting up a business to bring nannies into the country, which is all very prevalent in 1999 when Charlotte is, but in 1939, Tilly thinks, are you kidding me? You know, she said every child knows how to sew and embroider and knit, which in 1999 is not the truth. So
right.
Charlotte, you know, is able to use some of the knowledge she has from the decade where she lives back to 1939 to try and help Tilly. And actually, Henry's nanny, Lena, comes from an agency that Tilly does start. This book was really long. I had to cut lots of things. Cyrus, it's still fairly long, but I wanted to, and I think it might still be in the book on the refrigerator. I just wanted to show that some of the things that Charlotte and Henry did in 1939 came to fruition in later years. So Charlotte's encouragement of Tilly is also an act of friendship, because Tilly's the first person who is really nice to Charlotte, who's quite a difficult child, and tries to help her. And Charlotte wants to, this is new for Charlotte, she wants to respond in kind because she sees kindness from the older girl.
Right, right. You know, we're going to talk about the characters' love of words and how they were able to share that in letters, Dawn. But let's talk about your love of words. I mean, when did you realize that storytelling was one of those things for you that you wanted to be able to do?
I was always a fairly solitary child. I lived a lot in my head, had a lot of adventures with my dogs. I grew up in the United States, in the Midwest, in the country, and I used to go on a lot of adventures by myself, on my bike or with my dog. And when I did this, I imagined all kinds of different situations, which I think is quite typical of children. I created different places where I was. I created little houses and bushes. I imagined who lived in deserted houses that the dog and I came across. So that was sort of the beginning. I mean, I was always imagining things, in other words, taking myself out of my life at the moment to a different world. Writing was never easy for me. I think that I had, just like Charlotte and Henry and Gwendolyn in the book, a need to make myself understood not only to other people, but to myself primarily. Like, what was it that motivated me and moved me and touched me and made me laugh? So I just started putting those thoughts on paper, whether it be journals or letters that I wrote. I used to love to write letters and put them in the mail. Now it's email.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I wrote some articles and comedy sketches, and I've always written, you know, piles and piles and piles of stuff.
Yeah. And now, of course, you're able to share that, you know, that love, you know, with the world in the future, you know. And I brought up that question for this reason, Dawn, because just as Charlotte and Henry are able to see the power of words and how they can transcend time, is this the moment that you've been waiting for, to finally be able to share, you know, what has been that, you know, that love now with the world?
I like to think that that's possible, Cyrus. I would love people to find the book and enjoy it and get something out of it, to laugh, but also to think deeply about their own childhood and their own the power that we all have to help other people, and not even know it. You know, a
right.
smile on the street to a stranger, a million different things that can alter the course of somebody's life, and we would never even know. And that, I think, is very important with what Charlotte and Henry are doing in 1939, and with the letters and the journals that the children keep. Henry knows that he is going to have to be leaving his best friend, Lucas, with no explanation, and he writes Lucas a letter, which is found by Charlotte in 1999, that Lucas always has kept, explaining what it's meant to him to have Lucas as a friend and to try to forgive him for disappearing for no reason, for an explanation he can't really give. And yet they're reunited as well, even though Lucas is no longer alive in 1999,
mm-hmm.
Through Lucas's dog. So, you know, it's just these connections we make with people that are very powerful. That's one of the things that I really wanted to bring out.
Right. And I think it's one of the things that definitely comes through. For those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. Dawn Davis is our guest for this segment. We're talking with her not only about her book, The Tree of Life, but what it was like for her to bring to life the characters that she introduces us to. We'll tell you all a little bit later how you can stay connected with Dawn, as well as, of course, be able to get the book for yourself. You know, the other interesting thing I thought about, Dawn, as you were speaking, was about the fact that we never know, as you were just saying, you know, how far something that we do you know, might go in reaching other people or encouraging one another. I mean, for you, who have been some of the people who've encouraged you along this journey as a writer?
How could I possibly answer that? Can I answer that by telling you a story that was absolutely so powerful for me that happened just about 6 months ago?
Sure.
Okay. The doorbell rang. It was 10:30 in the morning. It was my daughter Elizabeth's 25th birthday. But Elizabeth died when she was 22. And at the door was a man I didn't recognize because I hadn't seen him since Elizabeth's funeral. And he was holding a big manila envelope in his hand. And it was her first boyfriend in high school. And he came in and he said he had this for me that he had been driving around. He had it in the back of his car. He'd been driving around with it for a year. And he sat down with me at the kitchen table. I opened it up, and it was a portrait that his mother had painted of Elizabeth. And it transformed me. I just started weeping immediately. But that gift did something astonishing for me, because you don't lose this grief when you lose a child. But when people reach out in these unexpected ways, and what happened, I reunited with his family. They've been wonderful to me. And the memories that we all hold of other people that can help, this was a transformative experience for me. Now, it also, writing, to try to bring this back to your question about writing, I virtually stopped doing everything after my daughter died, except I turned to writing, and writing was a consolation for me. It was a way to try and reconnect with Elizabeth. There's a lot of things that Charlotte does that Elizabeth did as a child, and this helped me. So writing and music to me are very powerful tools, and I'm very fortunate that they're in my life and, you know, bring me peace and sometimes even joy.
Yeah. You know, and I appreciate your sharing that story with us. And I think, you know, that is the thing, you know, we say to our audience all the time, Dawn, the importance of finding that thing for you, you know, that really, you know, connects you with life, connects you with living. You know, and I think, you know, what you want for the book is already happening. I noticed when I was prepping for this segment, I don't know if you're aware of this, but your book in Canada is number 32 on Amazon.com's bestsellers,
Birth
to Kindle.
No, it is. No idea.
And, yeah, and so I think, you know, what so many times we do, we put things out in the world, never knowing, you know, where they will lead, or just like with Charlotte, giving, you know, different pieces of advice, not knowing where that will lead, or someone sharing something with us, never knowing where that will lead. And then, of course, it being able to go far beyond what we could have imagined. I think that is the great thing about the Tree of Life, because it does show us that, you know, even though things may have happened in the past, they can still have a lasting impact. And we see it in the book, when the different characters you introduce us to, you know, are even reciting poetry, you know, from those who have gone on, and what those words still mean in bringing life. I mean, so let me ask you this. I mean, as the book continues to get out there, and people not only in Canada, but, you know, in the States and around the world are finding out about it, you know, does that, you know, for yourself, you know, make you at least feel as though you did what you wanted to do with it?
I am grateful and quite surprised with what you've said, because I didn't know what – I know my friends who've read it and what they have told me their experience was. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that, you know, it was as much out in the world as you say it is. I am just extraordinarily grateful that that's the case. Because, and I have to tell you this, because in many, many instances, my life was not saved, but enriched by reading by books that I've read, you know, 8-10 times, books that I turn back to when I'm feeling low, when I'm feeling doubtful or whatever. And the words that these authors have written, be they still alive or no longer with us, have had a powerful impact on me and have helped me. And, you know, for me, the greatest gift would be if one person said, you know, that section in the book when Henry was talking or Charlotte did this, it really opened my eyes. It helped me for a moment, right? For a moment, that would be the greatest sort of words I could receive from a stranger. That would be, because books have done that for me.
Right. You know, one of the most powerful things that I think is in the book, and I've been focusing a lot on Charlotte, but Henry writes something to Lucas that I think there are so many readers, myself included, who have felt this way towards authors or even towards others. And I want to actually read it because I think it's so powerful, and I think our audience will really resonate with it. For those who have the book already, it's in Chapter 10, so make sure you all make a note of that. This is what Henry wrote to Lucas. "I cannot tell you what I do not know or even how any of this came to pass, but I do know this. I'm glad I came because I met you. You welcomed me and made me feel like this is my home. If the choice were mine, I would stay here forever." And I think, you know, for anyone, you know, to read something and it sticks with them, I think that is kind of how we all kind of feel sometimes, is we hate to see a moment end. We hate to see, you know, company end. And we hate to see a story end. Of course, in your case, we know this is book one. So, you know, are you excited to see, you know, how readers respond to the rest of their journey, Dawn?
Oh, it'd be wonderful. I'm excited to just, in my mind, work out exactly the scope of Henry and Charlotte throughout many adventures, and also to explain book by book how the Tower Room came to be and what that special power is in the Tower Room, which will take people who are grieving or take people who are lost or suffering back in time to effect a resolution. How does the Tower Room come to be? Each book will explain that more, as we'll tell the stories of Charlotte's family in Travels as well.
Yeah. So a lot for us to be able to look forward to. Again, everyone, Dawn Davis has been our guest for this segment. Great conversation with you today, Dawn. Again, the first book in the Tower Room series is The Tree of Life. It's available now, as I said, in Canada. The Kindle version is already in the top 100. Right now it's at number 32 at the time of this conversation I'm having with Dawn. But it is available for the entire world to be able to get through our friends at Amazon.com. Dawn, how can our listeners stay connected with you?
I have a website. It is www.towerroomseries.com. And when that comes up, there is a page about the author, about the book, reviews, how to contact me, how to buy the book, and comments, suggestions, whatever. So that is that's the best way.
All right. So make sure you all are headed over to Dawn's website to be able to stay connected with her there. And then, like I said, then head over to Amazon.com and get the book for yourself. Dawn, really appreciate the time today. Great conversation with you. And I hope you'll come back when book two releases.
Oh, Cyrus, you've been so kind to me. Thank you so much.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all mine. I appreciate the time. And we thank you, our audience, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. For those joining us on the radio dial, stay where you are. We have our Acting on Faith segment coming up for you all, where I'll be speaking with four individuals who are very busy in the world of the arts and entertainment. Talk to them about their journey. I'll be speaking to Jose Maisonette, also Will Gray. I'll be speaking with Juan Ortiz, as well as Leonardo Sanderson. I met them when I was in New York recently. We're going to talk to them about their upcoming projects, and also what they hope will inspire you to be able to follow your own goals and dreams. Until next time, though, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, until we meet again, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take our time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.